Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about the flu this morning, influenza, with Dr. Brooke Rosheim, the Rappahannock Area Health District Director. Dr. Rosheim, it is great to have you back. Good morning.
Well, thanks, Ted. Thanks for having me.
This is our annual flu show, and we'll jump right into it. I guess whenever anybody gets sick this time of year, you always hear, "I got the flu." Mm-hmm. But you may or you may not have. There are symptoms if you have the flu, if you really have the flu.
Yes. This is the time of year when not only influenza virus, but also other common cold viruses like adenoviruses, rhinoviruses, tend to make their appearance. Although, just as an FYI, influenza is with us year-round, mm-hmm. as are all these other viruses. It's just that every winter we have an epidemic of influenza, seasonal, what we refer to as seasonal influenza in the winter. And you're right that sometimes it can be hard to tell the difference between influenza virus and one of the common cold viruses. The influenza virus tends to hit people a little bit harder with more significant symptoms, such as fever, muscle aches, joint aches, cough, sore throat. So a lot of it is upper respiratory tract stuff, such as cough, sore throat, headache, things like that. But when you throw in fever, when you throw in body aches, and the other thing, of course, is influenza circulating in the community, which we know it is, then you start thinking about influenza.
A lot of times we talk about getting the flu, and it's just something you get and you recover from, mm-hmm. but it is deadly.
It can be. Like you and I have talked over the years, you know, most people who get influenza infection are going to come through it just fine. So they're going to recover. They're not going to have any permanent sequelae from influenza. However, you're absolutely right that some people can and will get very sick from influenza. This is whereas with common cold viruses, you are probably not going to see that. People may end up in the hospital. According to CDC, every year there are somewhere between 3,000 and 50,000 influenza-associated deaths. And also, it's estimated that there are about 225,000 hospitalizations each year from influenza. So you're absolutely right. We don't take this lightly. People can get very ill. People can die from influenza. And unfortunately, every year we read about stories where people who were basically otherwise healthy or in good health who get influenza, and then that influenza oftentimes may become, or sometimes may become, the gateway toward them getting a bacterial pneumonia. And then things start going downhill from there. And every year you read about cases where people who were healthy died from influenza. So it is definitely not something to take lightly. This year, we are in the flu season. So we are in the midst of it right now. The numbers that we are seeing from VDH, the Virginia Department of Health, are going up in terms of number of people with influenza-like illness. So far in Rappahannock, we have received reports of individuals with influenza, but fortunately, we have not received reports of influenza outbreaks. But this is the time of year with things going up and up in terms of number of people getting sick, that it would not be uncommon to start seeing influenza outbreaks. So you're absolutely right that people need to take this seriously, and that is why we and CDC are out there really stressing flu vaccines, because put very simply, that is the best line of defense. The first line of defense is immunization.
And they're so easy to get.
Immunizations are they have never really been easier to get. And the other thing that I will tell you is that that there are so many, we have never had this many varieties of flu vaccines available. There are so many varieties of flu vaccines available that, you know, I mean, we started out, I can remember, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago with a short list of flu shots that were available. Now we've grown to a list that is much longer. You've now got flu shots that are completely egg-free. So they are not even made in eggs anymore. Most flu shots are, but you, for those people who don't want a flu shot that is grown in eggs, there is one available.
Okay.
You've got a whole variety of flu shots, and like you said, they're available at every drugstore, every grocery store that has a pharmacy, so which is great. You know, we at the health department used to, during flu season, we used to give out tons of flu vaccines in the past, and we don't do that anymore because there's really no need for us to do that because it's so widely available.
No, that's where I used to get it. I remember going over to you would go over certain days and get your flu shot. And like you say, now,
right,
every street corner, basically.
And that's a really good deal because people can go into a pharmacy. They don't have to wait, you know, a long time. They go in, they fill out some questions, they get their flu shot, and then they're done, and they're good for the season. One thing I will say is that the recommendation from last year from CDC about the flu mist, so everybody remembers the nasal spray.
Yeah.
The nasal spray is still not being recommended, so we are back to the flu vaccine, the flu shot only. And we'll have to see what happens with that. I'm not sure that we've heard the last of the nasal spray, but for last year and for this year, the flu shot is the way to go.
Dr. Brooke Ross, I'm here, the Health District Director for the Rappahannock Area Health District. We will continue on this morning talking about the flu and influenza this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking the flu this morning with Dr. Brooke Rosheim, the Rappahannock Area Health District Director. And we just heard that there are outbreaks of flu in the area, but we're not...
Well, we have not seen any outbreaks in Rappahannock. There have been outbreaks in other areas, that's for sure. So far, we have gotten individual reports of influenza,
okay,
but sort of... Not knock on plastic. We have not seen any outbreaks thus far, but it wouldn't surprise me if we start seeing them because there is flu activity that's out there and it's on the rise.
We talked about how flu shots are so available and so they're everywhere. You see signs form, and you go into any pharmacy and you see the signs, and it only takes a couple of minutes. If they're not busy, they'll sit you down and get you the flu shot and get going. Yeah. Yet, boy, it's for somebody like you and for those in public health at times, it's just got to be really frustrating that it's so available, but still there's still a lot of pushback by some people.
There is, and it is frustrating, and I like to bring data with me, so I do like to give people the facts. So if you look at how many people in the U.S., and CDC follows this closely, how many people in the U.S. actually get the flu vaccine? So basically, coverage rates in the U.S. are not great, but they are improving.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at adults, in 2009, 40% of adults, of eligibles, as we would refer to them, got the flu vaccine in 2009. By 2015, that was up to 43.6%. So there has been some progress that's been made.
That is really low, though.
It is low, and this is a battle that public health has been waging for many years, and it is, you know, it is frustrating. And the thing is, it is the best, immunization is the best preventive measure that we have. It is better than giving people anti-flu drugs once, like Tamiflu or Relenza. Once they get influenza, you know, the thing that you want to do is just, and it's just like other diseases, you never want to get the disease in the first place. So whether that is heart disease, whether that is, you know, colon cancer, whether that is whatever it is, prevention is the way to go. So if there's a way to prevent it, that's the way that in public health, that's the way to go. And that's what we preach when it comes to all sorts of things. And also, we give out a lot of vaccines for a lot of different things. But influenza is, you know, its own special category, because influenza really can wreak some havoc during the flu season. So if you look at children, we've seen a pretty nice gain. If you look at 2009, 43.7% of children got influenza vaccine. 2015, we're up to 59.3%. The next category is healthcare providers. And this is a nice gain has been made. In 2010, we were in the low to mid 60% range. Mm. And healthcare providers are a special group because, obviously, they are working with a vulnerable population. So they are working with people who are hospitalized or sick. And so if the healthcare provider does not get the flu vaccine, what happens if they get ill? And see, one of the tricky things about influenza virus and influenza disease is that people can be symptomatic. Adults can be symptomatic adults can be infected with the virus and be asymptomatic for about a day before they develop symptoms, but they are capable of spreading the illness. So that is a tricky thing about the influenza virus, is that you can have a person who is infected, who has no symptoms, who is spreading the virus, and then the next day they get sick. Well, while they're asymptomatic, you don't want that person around other people who are sick.
But you don't know it.
And you don't know. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And the thing is that and what that does is, you know, influenza spread person to person. It's a respiratory spread virus. So, you know, anytime people are in close proximity to one another and somebody coughs, okay, if they have influenza, well, they just coughed out a big cloud of influenza that other people then inhale and they can get sick. So that makes it tricky. So anyway, in 2010, among healthcare workers, we had about low to mid 60% getting influenza vaccination, which really isn't that great. But then as of 2015, we're up to 80% of healthcare workers getting flu vaccine, which is better. The goal, according to Healthy People 2020 is from the US government. They put a goal of 90%. And, you know, different healthcare systems approach this in different ways. There's been a lot written about healthcare workers and whether they should have to get flu shots. And, you know, I won't get into that because that's really the realm of what each healthcare system does. But that is, you can see from these numbers that you're absolutely right. We have a ways to go. And you know, you and I were talking, you know, during the break about the benefits of flu vaccine. And, you know, if the ideal benefit is people don't get sick at all. The ideal benefit is that the flu virus comes their way. You've got a good match between what's in the vaccine and what's circulating in the community. So essentially it just kind of bounces off of them. You know, they may come in contact with the influenza virus, but the thing is, they've got pre-made antibodies and they don't get sick. But the thing is, that doesn't always happen. And the other thing is that it's not just the idea of not getting sick, okay? That is a great endpoint. That's obviously the ultimate outcome that we want. But the other thing is, there's evidence out there that with a flu vaccine, even if you get influenza, you may not get as sick. And that's where you make a big difference, because that may mean the difference between someone who is an outpatient who just stays at home until they're better versus somebody who's hospitalized. Mm-hmm. That may make the difference between somebody who's on a floor bed in the hospital versus being in intensive care.
Wow.
And that may make the difference between somebody who ultimately lives and survives influenza illness versus somebody who does not survive. And so there are data showing that it's not just the fact that I didn't get sick at all. It's the fact that I didn't get as sick. And that means something as well.
Yeah, that's huge. And every year you've come in and you and others never say you get a flu shot. And like you say, that it's just going to bounce off you and you're okay.
Right.
There's no guarantee.
Right. There is not. And, you know, the vaccine, you know, in an average year, you know, we refer to a thing called vaccine effectiveness. And vaccine effectiveness is basically the number of people who did not get ill from the illness, from the disease. Vaccine effectiveness, you know, in an average year for influenza, may be 40, 50, 60, like in a really good year, 70%. But the thing is, that doesn't take into account those people who didn't end up in intensive care. Mm-hmm. Who were just on a floor bed in the hospital, stayed in the hospital for a couple of days, getting their antivirals, and then they went home.
Missed 2 days of work instead of a week and a half.
Exactly, because that is the reality, that if you're somebody that's very well said. You know, if you have not been vaccinated, you may be the one who, you've got fever, you've got bad muscle aches, you've got cough, you've got sore throat, you've got the whole symptom complex, and you feel you're just kind of down and out, right, for a week and a half, versus, a couple of days, 2-3 days, which is a big, big difference.
We're talking flu vaccine this morning with and the flu with Dr. Brooke Rosheim, the Rappahannock Area Health District director. I guess the other thing is, the more of us who get the flu vaccine, you just think, you referred to it when we were talking earlier about kind of a herd mm-hmm. immunity.
That's right. And really, that is the ultimate, you know, in terms of like public health, that is really what we're after, is that phenomenon of herd immunity, where once you get enough people vaccinated, so if you've got a good vaccine and a good match, then if you get up to about 80%+ of people vaccinated, see, the thing is, the virus then, because so many people are vaccinated and because the vaccine is doing its thing, what happens is that the virus can't really get a foothold. Because remember, this is a virus that is spread person to person. Okay, that's the primary way that this virus is spread. Yes, the virus can be spread by inanimate objects. So, you know, you touch a doorknob, you touch a surface, and then you touch your nose, mouth, eyes, and you basically inoculate yourself. But That's not the main route of transmission. The main route of transmission is person to person with influenza. So if you get enough people who are vaccinated, what happens is the virus can't really get a good foothold in people because they've been vaccinated. Mm. And so therefore it makes it more difficult for the virus to spread around because it's got a roadblock in its way, which is that people are already immunized. And the thing is, you know, the flu vaccines, you know, as of 2018, we do not have a flu vaccine for an individual, for an infant who is less than 6 months of age. We do not have that. So what we try to do is the goal is to get everybody around that infant. So
okay.
The parents, the caregivers, mm-hmm. anybody that might have contact with that infant, since we don't have a vaccine for that particular, we don't have a vaccine that is licensed for someone that young, what we try to do is surround them with people who are vaccinated. And that's the same idea. There's a term for that. It's called cocooning. And the idea is to form this little protective cocoon around the baby.
Yeah.
Because the baby can't get the vaccine. So what you do is you form a cocoon where everybody who has contact with the baby has had the vaccine, and that works. And we do that with other vaccines as well. So one vaccine that we do that with is pertussis. We do the same strategy because there are certain age limits on when we can give vaccines. So yes, herd immunity is really the ultimate goal, and that's why you see a real push on every year for people to get vaccinated, because the goal is, you know, if you look at the adult number, 43.6% in 2015, that means that we've got another 50 some percent, you know, that didn't get the vaccine. And that's the number that we want to change. And also the same thing for children. You know, we're up to 60%, but you still got 40% of eligible children who are not getting the vaccine. So that's where, in essence, you make your money.
Much more to talk about with Dr. Brooke Rosheim. We're talking about the flu this morning. He's the health district director for the Rappahannock Area Health District. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Rappahannock Area Health District Director Dr. Brooke Rosheim with us this morning as we're talking about the flu. One of the things you mentioned in the last segment, just about how a person can have the flu and it can be a day or so before you even know. Mm-hmm. What is kind of scary about that is just the fact that the flu almost gets a day head start. Mm-hmm. And so by the time someone you work with, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to stay away from you. But if you were shaking hands and doing all kinds of things the day before, it may not matter.
That's right. And the flu, these viruses are tricky. And the flu does get a day. The flu virus does get a day's head start because, you know, one of the terms that we use is called the incubation period. And the incubation period is the time between when you get exposed to whatever the infectious agent is and the time that you get sick. And with influenza, it's about a day or so. And so the thing is, during that day or so, you are getting sick. You don't know that you're getting sick because you don't have any symptoms.
Yeah.
But you are able to transmit. And that probably accounts for, you know, nobody's ever put any numbers on it because that sort of thing is very hard to put a number on. But that accounts for some of the transmission, undoubtedly, of the spread of influenza, because it is easy to spread. So when people are, even when people are talking, You know, when people are talking, they're expelling air. Mm-hmm. And if they are ill, other people are inhaling that air. When people, I'm amazed that we're this far into the program and we haven't talked about the big public health measures. Cover your cough.
Yep.
Okay. Hand hygiene, wash your hands, cover your cough and sneeze. So if you're going to cough into your sleeve, elbow, a tissue, something like that. Don't cough into your hands. Wash your hands. The hand washing is, for not just influenza virus, but for, all kinds of things, including norovirus, and a whole host of other bacteria and viruses. And then stay home if you're sick. So those are three public health principles, and those work. Those have been examined, studied, looked at, and they do work. And you're right, it gives the flu virus a day's head start, because it allows that person who's asymptomatic to spread the illness to others. And the thing is, see, once that person is ill, then they, then they know, oh, wait, now I'm sick, and so now I need to hopefully stay home, mm-hmm. wait till, and that goes whether it's influenza, whether it's a common cold, whether it's whatever, I need to, because, the goal is not to get the whole office sick. And, how many times do we all hear about that, oh, the person in this part of the office is sick and they came to work. And what happens is you see one by one, everybody else in the office gets ill. And that's what happens, because these things are common. These are easy to spread, these upper respiratory tract viruses, whether it's influenza or whether it's one of the common cold viruses. They are easy to spread.
Well, and Dr. Rossheim, when you describe, all the, cough into your arm and wash your hands, you want to do it all year round, not just in the winter, just because, as you described, influenza can be any time of the year.
It can. And influenza is present all year round. We know, before the 2009 H1N1 pandemic, we never really paid. I mean, I don't know about CDC, but I know that we never really paid a lot of attention to influenza during the non-influenza months, because it really wasn't something that was on our radar. But when you go and you actually now that 2009 changed all that, because first of all, the 2009 pandemic occurred during the summer. Okay, that was when it started, mm-hmm. which is not at all the typical time for an influenza outbreak to occur. And ever since then, now we follow influenza all year long. And what you see is that influenza still hovers at about 1% of people develop influenza-like illness kind of all year long. And if you look for it out there, you will find it, that it's there all year long. And then what happens is during the winter is when we see that epidemic, that seasonal flu epidemic that we have every year. Right now, if you look at our region, the Northwest region of the state, which is one of the ways that we break up, that VDH breaks up the state, the most recent flu report is that about 3% of emergency room visits and urgent care visits are for what we refer to as influenza-like illness. And the definition of influenza-like illness is pretty simple. It's fever of 100 or more, and cough or sore throat. So we have a pretty broad definition. Right now in the Northwest region, we're at 3%, but I can tell you that curve is on the upswing. We are not, it's not like we've kind of hit the, it's not like we've hit the peak and it's coming down.
Yeah.
We're on the upswing. If you look to the north, okay, and on our northern region colleagues, they're at 5%. So one out of every 20 visits to an ER or urgent care center is for an influenza-like illness. And I suspect that, these numbers are released. VDH releases its numbers every Thursday. So every Thursday at around 11 a.m. is when we get the updated VDH report. And I suspect what you will see with this upcoming report this Thursday is that it's continuing to go up, because that is, that's the trajectory it's on now. And then every Friday at noon is when the CDC releases its weekly, what they call flu view. And if you want to go, if you want to check out the CDC's website, it's www.cdc.gov/flu. And what they have is the flu view is a very detailed document. But if you look at the bottom of the document, you will see the map of activity of influenza. And you will see, right, like as of right now, 46 states are reporting widespread flu activity, and we are one of them. The color coding that they have is brown is widespread. And what you see is that the entire United States pretty much is brown.
Yeah.
Because they're reporting widespread flu activity.
We are talking flu this morning with Dr. Brooke Rosheim with the Rappahannock Area Health District. One of the things you hear a lot, and I learned a little bit this morning before we went on the air, because this time of year, and usually generally every year, people will talk about the flu vaccine and say, well, they missed with the flu vaccine this year. And you told me earlier, it's too early to know.
It is. We have not received any. CDC has not released any vaccine effectiveness data. It is too early. I suspect, and this is just my own speculation, I suspect that we'll be seeing probably some preliminary data reports maybe at the end of January, but probably more likely in February, where the CDC will release some kind of information about preliminary vaccine effectiveness. Now, we will not get the actual final numbers until, long after the flu season is over, because they have to tally up all the data. The data is coming in from everywhere. But so far, we don't know. I will say that the predominant strain that we are seeing, and there is a component of this in the vaccine, is we are seeing influenza A. And we are seeing the AH3 strain, which is the predominant one. And one of the things is that on December 27, so if you're interested, you can go to CDC's website. On December 27, CDC put out an alert about influenza. And in the alert, what CDC was getting at is they really weren't telling us stuff that was really new, but what they were telling us is that flu is here, okay, and it's here a little bit early. This year, the flu season started in early December, so it's about 3 weeks earlier than it typically begins in Virginia and in the U.S. for that matter. And that what we were seeing is the AH3 strain. And AH3 is a little bit more difficult tends to be a little bit more difficult than, for instance, the H1N1. And believe, H1N1, that pandemic strain, that we all, had, that we all kind of lived through in 2009.
Yeah.
That's still out there. The H1N1 tends to be a little bit, in terms of it tends to be a little bit better matched in the vaccine. The AH3 sometimes isn't as great of a match. And that's one of the things that CDC was letting its audience know, is that, okay, we're giving you kind of a heads up that this AH3 is the one that we're seeing, and AH3 tends to hit older people a little bit harder. It tends to hit kids a little bit harder. And the other thing is that AH3, even though there is an H3 in the vaccine, sometimes the match isn't as great. Now, they weren't releasing any matched numbers, but they were just, and so what, if you look at this advisory from the CDC, what it talks about is treatment. So that is that if you're somebody who, particularly if you're somebody who's hospitalized with either suspected or confirmed influenza, you should be treated basically ASAP. If you're somebody who's an outpatient, mm-hmm. who is high risk, so a high risk outpatient is someone who's older, someone who's got chronic disease, chronic lung disease, chronic heart disease, chronic kidney disease, liver disease, diabetes, those people should be treated. And this, what the advisory was CDC's way of just reminding us that don't wait in terms of treatment. So if you don't have to wait for that confirmatory test. We know that flu is out there, okay? That's a given.
Yeah.
So if you see somebody that you believe has influenza, you don't have to necessarily, and they have symptoms and signs that are consistent with influenza, you don't have to wait for that test to come back. Go ahead and treat them. Now, the interesting part is, what do you do with the person who you think has influenza, so you suspect it or you've confirmed it, but they're not high risk? Okay, so what about the person who doesn't have any risk factors? They don't have diabetes. Don't have chronic liver, heart, kidney, lung disease. What do you do with them? Well, then it becomes the practitioner's call. Do those people absolutely need antiviral medication? No, not necessarily. That is an area where it's left up to the practitioner about, do you want to start them on antivirals? If you want to, that's fine. But is it absolutely hard and fast that you should start them? No. And the other thing is, if you're going to start antiviral medication for people who are sick, you want to start it as soon as possible. So even though in the instructions it says start it within the first 48 hours, you want to start it as soon as you can. The earlier the better. And then the other thing is if you've got somebody who's really sick, so if you've got somebody who's in the hospital with influenza, and even if you're past that 48-hour time frame, go ahead and start them on an influenza antiviral, because there's been shown to be some benefit from that.
A couple more things to wrap up with Dr. Brooke Rostheim this morning. We're talking about the flu. He's the Rappahannock Area Health District Director, and we will conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubert.
Dr. Brooke Rostheim here, the Rappahannock Area Health District Director. Good stuff this morning as we talk about the flu and flu shots. The people who are high risk for this, I know those are the people that you watch closely.
Yes, and what we mean by high risk are that those are people who are at high risk for complications of influenza. So those are people who are at high risk of getting influenza pneumonia. Okay, influenza can cause pneumonia just on its own. Influenza can also be the gateway for a bacterial pneumonia to come into play. So people who are high risk are children younger than 5, and particularly children younger than 2. Why? Because their immune system is relatively new. They don't have a well-developed immune system. Adults who are 65 and over are considered in the high-risk group. People who have chronic medical conditions. It's essentially the people who we really stress the flu shot in. So mm-hmm. people with chronic medical conditions, so people that have heart disease, so if you have congestive heart failure, if you have coronary artery disease, people with chronic lung disease, so if you have COPD, emphysema, cystic fibrosis, people with chronic liver disease, so if you have cirrhosis of the liver, people with chronic kidney disease, so if you have chronic kidney disease and you're on dialysis. But it doesn't have to be people who are that far along with their chronic kidney disease that their kidneys are failing and that they're on dialysis, so you've got some kind of chronic kidney problem. Diabetics are another group. Pregnant women, okay, that's another high-risk group, or women who have given birth within the previous 2 weeks are included. People with a weakened immune system from any cause. That could be that an individual has HIV disease, okay, and they have a weak immune system. That could be an individual on medication like the TNF antagonist that we see advertised on TV. People who are on steroids for whatever medical condition, that can affect their immune system. And then people who care for others who are a vulnerable population. And that's where you get to healthcare workers. So if you work in a doctor's office, if you work in a hospital, if you work in an urgent care, if you work in a nursing home, if you work in assisted living, somewhere where you are around people who are a vulnerable population, these are people where the flu vaccine is really targeted because they are considered the high-risk people. Those are people that we want to get a vaccine to, but it doesn't just stop there. You know, the recommendation that exists right now is for every, you know, the CDC recommendation is for everyone who is 6 months of age and older who does not have a medical contraindication, a bona fide medical reason, which are very, very few, they should get a, the recommendation is they get a flu shot.
And it's never too late to get a flu shot.
And I'm glad you brought that up because some people may say, wait a second, the flu season is in full swing now. It's too late. No, it's never too late. Because the thing is, we typically when we hit widespread activity, we're in our fifth week of widespread activity in Virginia. Typically, we will have 13, 14, 15 weeks of widespread activity. So it is definitely not too late to get a flu shot if you have not been vaccinated. This is an ideal time to be vaccinated. It takes about a week or so for antibodies to develop, but this is a great time to be vaccinated. And don't say because, you know, it's already here, it's too late, because it definitely is not. And before we go, got to stress the three public health measures. Wash your hands often and regularly. Cover your cough and cover your sneeze. And if you are sick, stay home. And the criteria that we use is stay home until you have no fever without the use of a fever-reducing medication for 24 hours.
And a lot of offices now ask you. They don't want you there.
And that's the right thing to do, because what happens is these, not just influenza virus, but common cold viruses, these are easily spread from person to person. These are very transmissible. So once, you know, we want that thing gone, that way you're non-infectious, and then you can come back to work.
We're almost out of time, but even if it comes out that the vaccine isn't as close as you'd like, it's still something.
It is, and that's a great point. That yes, even if the vaccine effectiveness turns out to be 30% or 40%, thing is, that may be the difference between a person ending up in the hospital versus a person being able to be treated at home, and that's a big, big difference. And you know, or a person being, you know, in intensive care versus a floor bed, and that's serious stuff. You don't want to go down that road.
Dr. Brooke Rosheim, the Rappahannock Area Health District Director, thank you for what you do, and thank you for this show every year. It's a great help.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.